We're looking at the number 8, and we're in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. In verse 1, this was the day of Pentecost in the Jewish festivals. Now we know Pentecost means 50, or the 50th day. 50th day after what? After the Passover. 40 days Jesus had been teaching his disciples about the kingdom. Another 10 days moved on, of course, to become the 50th day, and the Holy Spirit came, and the church began as a new beginning. Genesis is a book of the original beginnings, and as far as we are concerned, the church, this was then on that particular day, the time of new beginning. Now, we looked at John's Gospel, chapter 20, just now. When Jesus came to Thomas, especially, and the disciples, on the eighth day. We're looking at the word eight and eighth today as new beginnings. We're in the beginning of a new year, so it's very topical. On the eighth day, Jesus was resurrected on the first day. The eighth day, he appeared to Thomas and the disciples. Then they waited until the Pentecost in the Jewish feasts, the third feast, the 50th day when the Holy Spirit came. Now, would you notice, please, that 50, of course, we know is seven sevens, 7 weeks. And the 50th day is the first day of the eighth week. That's very significant. There's nothing accidental in the Word of God. That's very significant. In other words, the first day of the eighth week, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born, a new beginning. We are new creatures in Christ. As a new beginning, the church is unique. It's not in the Old Testament. The church is unique. It began on this 50th day, the first day of the eighth week, 7-7-49, 50th day, first day of the eighth week. So this is very significant. Now, just to think about that a little bit further on, we are the people of the eighth day.
Amen.
We are the people of new beginnings. We've been born again of the Holy Spirit when he came on that first day of the eighth week. Now, I want to just go on a bit, just into a Hebrew word at the moment. The Hebrew word is atzeret. It's spelled A-T-Z-E-R-E-T, Atzeret. And it means the gathering of the eighth day. Where were the disciples? They're in one place, under one accord, under one mind in Acts 2. It was a gathering of the eighth day. And even in the Hebrew, the word Atzeret, the gathering of the eighth day. Now, this is a bit of a mystery word because the church is a mystery. In fact, it's the last day of the Hebrew calendar, but it doesn't matter. But the word atzeret comes from a root word called atzah. And it means to keep, to maintain, to hold back, to recover, and to retain. Now, when you think about it, that is what the Lord has done for us. He has recovered us. He's retained us for himself. He's keeping us. He's maintaining us as we grow in the Lord. And it's all linked up together with the eighth day and the number eight. And in fact, I want to go on a bit further on. When you come through, as we believe, there was 6,000 years before Jesus came. No, a bit less than that. And we go through the church age, which is 2,000. So if you like, it's 6,000 years since we believe creation. The end of the 6,000 years, there comes the seventh day, the millennium. What's the eighth day? New heaven and new earth. Think about that. 6,000 years, then comes the millennial age on the seventh, which is a period of rest, according to Hebrews. And the eighth day, or the eighth well, going on into eternity, is the new heaven and the new earth. That is an entirely new beginning, isn't it? That's an even greater new beginning. Very interesting, that. So there is the dawning of eternity without time. And that particular eighth day, or the eighth period of God's dealing with history, comes the dawn of eternity for us as believers. We should be with the Lord, of course, before that. But for eternity, a new heaven and a new earth, a new beginning for a new earth and new heavens. How about that? Also, that day speaks of the last day of the old earth's existence and into the beginning of a new earth and a new heaven. Well, isn't the Lord perfect the way he does things? I think that's quite amazing. Now, there's another word similar. It's the word for eighth in the Hebrew is Shemini, Shemini, S-H-E-M-I-N-I, Shemini. And that comes from the word Shemen, which means oil. And we know the Holy Spirit has oil for a symbol. So if you like, what we have here is that you have the word eighth, Shemini, joined up similar in root form to the word Shemen, which means oil. And the oil, you know, is, of course, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, as I said just now. But it's linked to that number eight, because Shemini means eighth. So when the Holy Spirit came, it was on the first day of the eighth week, originally in the church age. It's all linked up together. So the power of the Holy Spirit is linked to that number eight. Number seven is completion, as you know, in the nature of the Lord. So eight is won over that into an entirely new beginning, especially for the church. So in other words, when you come to the eighth or the eight, the coming of the Holy Spirit, it means as when Jesus came and born, according to Galatians 4, in the fullness of time. Jesus was born of a woman, Mary. In the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit came to begin the church. That's linked with the eighth again. Well, there's a lot in this, isn't there? I must say, quite remarkable. Pentecost is the 50th day, the first day of the eighth week. Beginning of the eighth week. In other words, as I said, the new beginning. And the new beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in his universal way worldwide to form the church. All that is really quite remarkable, isn't it? So, hallelujah for that. So, I'd like, if I may, and this is, I'm going to look at some scriptures now, if you'd like to follow them. We looked at that John 20 and verse 26. After 8 days, Jesus came to the disciples. 8 days after his resurrection, a week has gone by, Jesus came again to his disciples and to Thomas. So eight is the symbol also of resurrection, new beginning, new life, but the Holy Spirit is the one we need for that new birth. So that's very significant. And in that revelation of the Lord to Thomas, who wasn't there at the beginning when he met the early disciples, Jesus met the early disciples, Thomas wasn't there. But he was there on the eighth day, and he said, my Lord and my God. Remarkable. Can we have a think about this? Going way back to Genesis. Noah and his family were told to enter into the ark. How many were there? Eight.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. Noah, his wife.
Yeah.
Three sons. Three daughters-in-law. Eight people. They entered into the ark safe from the judgment, as we know that very well. So if you like, when that ark was above the waters, it symbolized like a resurrection. We should be above the waters of judgment of the great tribulation because we're going to be with the Lord. No doubt about that. But they were saved by the Lord, 8 in total, no more. That's how we know that. We know that back from Genesis. And the Lord gave that covenant of the rainbow, as we know. You see, it never rained before, so there'd be no rainbows. But it rained, as we know, and the rainbow was there, and the Lord created it. So that was a new beginning. And you know that eventually Noah and his family came out from the ark when it was all dry, and put the two birds out, the raven and the dove, and they entered into a new beginning. 8 people entering into a new beginning. Interesting, isn't it? And the date was 1,256 after creation. Can you divide that by 8? Well, I won't let you try. Also, here's an interesting thing. David, who became King David, was the 8th son of Jesse. And he was the one to become king. Interesting, isn't it? Samuel thought it might have been one of the others, a big and tall one, number one. No, said the Lord, I've chosen the 8th one. I think that's very significant. And he was the king of God's choice, a man after God's own heart, as he was. And the covenant was made with David as well, that he would have a son in his family line to sit on the throne. That's Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? It's very interesting, too, that the choice by the Lord was for the 8th son of Jesse. In Bethlehem, of course, as you know, he was born there. And do you know that Bethlehem is mentioned 8 times in the New Testament? Very significant. Well, could be, anyway. Very interesting. Now, let's go back into the Old Testament. I'll ask you to turn to this. Go back to 2 Chronicles. I'm reading through 2 Chronicles as a matter of interest. And I found these interesting words in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. We're thinking about new beginnings, the beginning of a new year, 2021. And if you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and if you look at verse 17, please. Verse 17. Chapter 29, verse 17. This is about this good King Hezekiah, and he cleared out all the Baal rubbish, cleared out the temple, cleaned it up, and set the priests and Levites into order with all their sacrifices, etc. And if you look in verse 17, please, 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 17. And notice this. See, the priests, they cleaned out the house. Priests entered into the house in verse 16 and the Levites as well. They took their part. And verse 17. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month. And on the 8th day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. They're cleaning it up and sanctifying it. On the 8th day. Then they sanctify the house of the Lord in 8 days. And on the 16th day, 2/8 of the first month, they finished. It was complete. The beginning was there and was complete at the end of 2 lots of 8 days. Well, the Holy Spirit put those in, didn't he? No question about that. The first inner part of the temple took 8 days to clear out. And the outer part took another 8 days. So in both cases, the inside and the outside had a new beginning. You and I have a new beginning on the inside, and outworking faith comes works on the outside. I'm doing that stressing a bit there. Interesting. By the way, I'm sure you knew this, but did you know that in the Greek, there are numbers like Hebrews attached to the letters, but the number of Jesus numerical value is 888. Yeah? Probably knew that.
Yes, heard that.
And of course, it's a symbol of resurrection and new life for us. And the resurrection of Jesus, new life for him in that sense. So that is very clear, isn't it?
Yep.
Did you know that the book of Revelation, listen to this one, contains 888 words?
Oh, didn't know that.
As we have it in the English Bible. Also, at the, you know, the last eight chapters of Ezekiel is about the construction of the millennial temple and the worship there. And I won't go into those now. You take my word for it. But we look at one or two, if you like. But those details of the building of the millennial temple and its dimensions, the remarkable symbolism of the number eight comes in there as well, because it's a millennial temple. It's a complete new temple where the Lord will be as king and high priest of Israel.
Where's that?
It's in Ezekiel. Would you go there? You want to go back? Well, if you're in 2 Chronicles, go forward to Ezekiel 40. Ezekiel chapter 40. Come to it in a moment. Ezekiel chapter 40 is the one we want.
Come on, come on.
These are the construction of the gateways into the inner courts. If you go to verse 31 of Ezekiel 40, Ezekiel 40, verse 31. The archways of the temple face the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts, and going up to it were eight steps. Interesting. Go on to verse 34. Its archways face the inner court, and palm trees were on its gateposts, on this side and on this side, and going up as it were eight steps. Here we are again. Eight steps again. Now go to verse 37. 37. Its gateposts face the outer court. Palm trees were on its gateposts, on this side and on that side, and going up to it were eight steps. In other words, eight steps going up from all quarters. Eight steps going up, and for them it was new worship. New worship. Remarkable, isn't it? Mm.
Hmm.
And of course, when we think of the millennium, which is like the 7,000 years, followed by the eighth, which is a new heaven, new earth, millennium speaks of rest. You and I can have rest from our labors. You can't work for salvation. Rather, we have a rest and peace with God that our sins are forgiven. We have new life. Our lives, we have a new beginning, spiritually speaking. So the millennium is the seventh dispensation, and the eighth one is a new heaven and new earth, as I said, as indeed a totally new creation. I was interested in the millennial temple. We're here in Ezekiel. In the millennial temple, there are eight tables for sacrifice. And of course, that symbolizes the sacrifice of Jesus, followed by his resurrection. Then it says, go to chapter 43, would you, of Ezekiel? You might as well look at the scriptures. Chapter 43. And we need verse 26. Chapter 43 of Ezekiel, verse 26. Ezekiel 43:26. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, and so concentrate it. Verse 27. When these days are over, it shall be, because it's future, on the eighth day and thereafter, that the priest shall offer your burnt offerings and your peace offerings on the altar. And I will accept it, says the Lord. Now that's not to atone for sin. It's so that the Jewish people may approach a holy God It's not well, you could say it's a memorial of Jesus' sacrifice, yeah. But in Jewish life, it's a cleansing and a consecration so they could approach the Lord to worship him in the millennial temple. So in those, it's on the eighth day, after the 7 days of consecration and purifying, when they're over on the eighth day, then they should begin their worship through their sacrifice. Not to atone for sin, that's been done by Jesus. I thought that's very interesting, that on the eighth day. Well, in Jewish life, as you know, the Sabbath was the seventh day. Day of rest, like millennium will be. But it was followed, of course, then by the eighth day. But, as you know, they had a cycle of life. They could till the land for 6 days, for 6 years. On the seventh, they let the land grow fallow, and there's enough food taken in on the sixth year. On the seventh year, they weren't working, wouldn't sow seed, wouldn't reap harvest. It was like a day rest, year rest. But on the eighth year, they could begin sowing a seed again. It was a new beginning on the very eighth year, or the beginning of the first year of the next period of seven. That's interesting, yeah. So plowing, sowing, and harvesting could then take place in that next year, which would be like the eighth year. So what do we say here? Well, Jesus came to disciples and Thomas on the eighth day after his resurrection. So if you like, Jesus is the eighth, if you like, on that. I just checked this. Jesus is a person of the eighth day, is what I wanted. Jesus is the person of the eighth day. Jesus is the person of new beginnings. He's the eighth day of the new life we experience. And the eighth day was a day of consecration and the beginning of priestly duties. Now, could you go back to Leviticus, please? We're almost at the end. Hope I haven't bored you with numbers.
No, not at all.
If you go back, thank you. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 7, let's get back there. Chapter 7 of Leviticus. Chapter 9 of Leviticus. And look at verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 9, 1 and 2. It came to pass on the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull, a sin offering, and ram as a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. On the eighth day, the priests themselves were cleansed. On the eighth day, you needn't turn to this, but in Numbers 6, verse 10, the circumcision took place on the eighth day. No, you probably knew that. Which at the time, of course, was the best day for the healing of the shedding of blood and the coagulation of blood on the eighth day, the correct number of white blood cells on the eighth day. That's no coincidence. It's interesting, isn't it? Circumcision took place on the eighth day, Numbers 6, verse 10. Interesting, of course, that the leper was healed on the eighth day. Look at chapter 14 of Leviticus, while you're in there. Chapter 14. For the leper, he was healed after the offerings were sacrificed on the eighth day. Leviticus 14, verse 10. Leviticus 14, verse 10. Notice in verse 9, on the seventh day, he has to do something. On the seventh day, washing. On the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe and so on, and offer them to the Lord through the priest. Verse 11. On the eighth day, he will be pronounced clean by the priest. Hallelujah for us, because of the resurrection of Jesus, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the first day of the eighth week, you and I are completely washed clean and made new in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Very interesting that, isn't it? Ooh. Also on the eighth day, this is interesting. In Leviticus 15, you didn't turn to it, a woman had her cleansing after her period. After 7 days, she could offer a sacrifice on the eighth day. That was repeated regularly, of course. That's interesting. That's in Leviticus 15, verses 13, 14, and 29. And also it's interesting here. During the Feast of the Lord, which Pentecost was the third one, a holy convocation and gathering and offerings are made to the Lord. Now, if you look, please, while we're in Leviticus, finishing off soon, go to chapter 23, where all those feasts are mentioned. Leviticus 23. Find my page. Leviticus 23. And would you go to verse 36? Leviticus 23, verse 36. And this is relating to the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the seventh feast. Chapter 23, Leviticus, and verse 26. Sorry, 36. Sorry, I said 36 before.
Yeah.
And verse 36. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work there on it. Eighth day, a time of consecration. For Thomas, on the eighth day when Jesus met him, it was a time of consecration, wasn't it? My Lord and my God. Very interesting. Also, in Nehemiah, after the reading, lengthy reading of the Word of God, they kept the Feast of Tabernacles on the eighth day. So the Word of God was reinstating holy gatherings on the eighth day. For Thomas, for him, it was a holy gathering with the disciples with Jesus on the eighth day. Consecration. It's interesting to know that in the Old Testament times, that any sacrificed animal had to be at least 8 days old. That's in Leviticus 22. So just to finish off with this use of the number eight or eighth, and the eighth day in Scripture is very significant. Holy Spirit came on day one of the eighth week. First day. New beginnings. New life. Church. Salvation for you and I. Born again of the Spirit. New beginnings. We're in a new year. And the Lord creates everything new eventually in the beginning of the, if you like, not there'd be any time there, but it would be in the 8,000th year. No time, of course, in new earth and new heaven. But that would be the equivalent of the 8,000 years and onwards into eternity. Totally new heaven, totally new earth, totally new life. And we should be there with the Lord forever. And the Lord says, behold, I create all things new. Oh, yes. So, a new year, time of consecration. On the eighth day, well, we can do it on the second day. Don't leave it to the eighth day. It's very significant, isn't it? 2021. Could it be a time of the Lord coming for us? Very possible. Very possible. Then it will really be a new beginning, won't it? We'll have a new body, a glorified body, whenever that should take place. And it will be entirely new. Hallelujah. What a beginning that will be.
Amen.
So, I would think about the eighth and the eighth day. Hope it blesses you. Thank you, John. The Word of God is so complete, isn't it? It doesn't miss a thing.
Yeah.
It has so much meaning to it. So literally the word number 8 and the 8th day, the Atzeret.
Cool.
Over to you.
Thank you, Don. Very, very